Route 100C, Johnson.
Family-owned Wolcott Garage and Wolcott Auto Sales on Route 15 in Wolcott.
It's time to get the story behind the story. Interviews with newsmakers, newsbreakers, and your phone calls. Radio Vermont presents The Mark Johnson Show.
Thank you, Jim Conde. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Another beautiful day out there today. Thanks for spending part of it with us. Forecaster Roger Hill's Pick of the Week. Coming up on the program this morning, in our second hour, we're going to chat with Peter Boynton. He is the man behind the Skinner Barn out in Waitsfield. A beautiful sight for you to see, a great performance. We'll tell you all about Violet coming up in hour number two. We'll also check in with our White House crew, find out about the hot spots in the world. Wow, what a really terrible period of time for our planet out there. So we'll check in with Victoria Jones. Will be joining us on the program coming up at about 10:05. We'd love to hear from you throughout. You can reach us at the usual phone numbers at 244-1777 if you live right here in central Vermont. And if it's a toll call for you to reach us, do not let that stop you. You can call us for free at 877-291-8255. That's 877-291-8255. I also periodically check emails, so you can send me an email if that's the only way you can connect with us. And you can do that by sending it to my Green Mountain Access account at mark, M-A-R-K, at gmavt.net. We begin this morning. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to one of the Republicans running for governor here in Vermont. Scott Milne is back to join us, and just 2 days ago, officially launching his campaign. Thank you very much for joining us. How are you this morning?
Great, Mark. Good to be with you.
So you actually began this campaign, though, back in June. June 12th was when you filed paperwork, and then last week was the first real reporting period for money. I think a lot of people were surprised how little you'd raised, about $20,000. Is that an acceptable amount to raise in about a month?
Absolutely. We actually opened our bank account on the Friday before we the filing deadline, and I guess I would say, Mark, it's an enlightening, but I would argue unfortunate part of the way politics works right now, that fundraising is such an important part of it. But I'm more interested at this point in the campaign in making sure I'm out meeting Vermonters and reconfirming what drew me into this race, which is a real fear of the direction the Shumlin administration is taking the state, and the need for a hopefully what people judge me as an articulate voice of opposition to that. So we raised a little over $20,000, more than covered payroll. Some of the great business advice I got from my parents when I got into business 25 years ago was make sure you pay people on payday and make sure the checks don't bounce. So we've got the basics covered, and I think that's not a bad way to move forward into transitioning to governing Vermont, which is what I hope I'll be doing in January.
But if you want to raise about $200,000 in total in this campaign, you got a long way to go. So how actively are you pursuing money, and are you running into difficulty?
I'm not all that actively pursuing money yet, and I'm not running into difficulty, but we think we'll get somewhere in that $200,000 range as a baseline from which we'll have a very formidable opportunity. Clearly, as you know, Mark, and I think people listening probably realize, as we get into September and October, there's an opportunity for some other people. You know, people like backing who they perceive as a winner. Right now, we're not that well known. Our job really is to grassroots organize, talk to Vermonters, have Vermonters believe that I'm being candid with them, hopefully believe that I'm what I don't already know, I'm getting quickly up to speed on. What I clearly do know coming into this is there's some real problems with the economy in Vermont. There's some real lack of leadership from the Shumlin administration over the last 4 or 6 years, because he spent his last 2 years as president pro tem of the Senate, really running for governor. So he's got 6 years into this. He still can't even tell us too much about how he's going to pay for Vermont Health Connect, say nothing of, taking accountability for the total mismanagement of it. Secondly, we've got this big problem with the school system, and we've got a governor who, between vacations in Bimini or wherever his Caribbean vacation home is, and flying all over the country to raise money from special interest groups. Found all kinds of time to do that during the legislative session, but didn't find the time or the need to roll up his shirt sleeves, walk across from the pavilion fifth floor to the Capitol, sit down with the House and Senate leaders and get something on the table that's going to restructure property taxes so that, you know, you're talking about my announcement in Barrie. I stopped Phil Karen, an old high school buddy of mine, runs Central Market, which has been there at least for two generations. I stopped in there for a coffee on my way over to my announcement on Wednesday at the Aldrich Public Library. Ran into three people, all of whom supported me emotionally, all of whom live in Florida and don't vote in Vermont anymore. So that's the problems that are being caused by a Shumlin administration that I think is absent. And I don't think fundraising is really a primary prerequisite for challenging the Shumlin administration on its record, which is going to be job number one for our campaign.
But you say you're not actively pursuing money. I think that would make some people question whether or not you're really taking this seriously.
Well, just come on out and vote. Well, you know, we'll see how serious we are on November 4th. People have different opinions. We've got a strategy for fundraising. Clearly, I have a fundraiser on board who knows what she's doing. But I'm not going to spend 8 hours a day calling people and begging them for money the way. And I'm clearly not going to call people up that donate to my opponent and ask them why, which is a widely known fact about this administration. So
that they do that? They call people that are that have contributed you and ask why?
Not me, but in the past. And that's get people on the show and ask them, but that's clearly a part of the Shumlin agenda.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about health care here. There's been some problems reported this week with the Vermont Health Exchange. So what would you have done differently with this?
Well, I think it's important to, you know, put it into perspective, you know, whether you're for or against Obamacare, i.e. Affordable Care Act, it's a national law. And I think, you know, the founding fathers set up this federalist, government that enables states to do an awful lot of things and enables states to sort of be incubators for best practices and. At the same way, one of the fundamental principles of our campaign is the more locally a decision can be made, the better it is. You know, I think I would trust a decision over a select board or a city council over a state legislature when it makes sense. And clearly a decision made by a state legislature over one made by the federal government when it makes sense. But so we've got Obamacare. We've got the Affordable Care Act. I think the way that the Shumlin administration chose to move forward with that was reckless. We've got, well over $100 million into it, either actual cash spend or pledged now, something that doesn't work. It was way too bold and reckless when we got into it. I think if you look at New Hampshire, there's different versions of numbers, but you've got twice as many people as us and less than 10% of the money into it. And I think their system works better than ours so far. So I think we go back to the beginning, the Shumlin decisions of how we were going to set up being compliant with the Affordable Care Act were misguided. I think more importantly now, as I look forward to getting into the governor's office in January, is what are we going to do about it? Clearly, I think we'll see, the Shumlin administration's own accounts, I think one of their big achievements in the last 2 years is this whistleblower protection. So at least people at Affordable Care, Vermont Health Connect in Montpelier don't have to worry too much about getting fired for coming forward and continuing to talk about the real disaster that's going on there. I think we'll see a lot more stories like that coming out over the next 60 days. And I think the Shumlin administration needs to be held accountable, not only for the what I would argue is the really bad leadership choices that got us onto this road, but they've been exacerbated by the bad management. Part of leadership is management. And I think if you look at Vermont Health Connect, you can look at the Agency of Natural Resources, you can look at Health and Human Services. I was sitting with Chuck Ross at an event up in the islands last week, and I go, I've been trying to think of a state agency that is actually well-managed. Thanks for reminding me, Chuck. Department of Agriculture.
244-1777 is our local number, toll-free 877-291-8255. You've said that you'd rather have gone with a federal exchange. Why?
Less expensive, less risky.
All right, let's talk about A&R and HHS. How are they being poorly managed?
Well, I think if you go back to, I think what we have with the Shulman administration and with Governor Shulman is a governor who's as good as politically as capable and deft as any governor I think I've seen in my lifetime, which goes, I've been paying attention to governor since Phil Hoff. There's other very good ones as well. But I it's hard to get into this game without, I want to, these are political objective words, not meant to be mean-spirited or, and my tone is, I respect most of what Shulman and his family have accomplished. So it's not personal at all, but, on the one hand, you've got this guy who's a very deft, smooth political guy. On the other hand, if I compare him to the governors going back to Phil Hoff, he doesn't stack up well against any of them, in my opinion. When you look at that and you sort of do this, their branding of their, team of rivals by bringing all of his primary opponents or most of his primary opponents into running state agencies, I don't think those were good management choices. I mean, one, and
just tell him to call in the program. It's much easier. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. We've been talking with Republican gubernatorial candidate Scott Melton.
Thanks for turning your phone off, Mark.
Yeah.
I don't
have as cool a ring.
I could tell you my story about how my phone broke yesterday and I couldn't get emails or calls for 2 hours. So I put a little wrinkle in my day yesterday. But what I would say is clearly the Agency of Natural Resources, Department of Health and Human Services. If I took a step back, my wish in the 2010 election, I followed the Democratic primary closely. I would have loved to have seen a Brian Doobie, Doug Racine governor's race. I think Doug Racine is an accomplished state public servant, a man of great integrity, and I would have loved that governor's race. I think I would have supported Doobie in that, but I thought that would have been a good governor's race with two very different paths forward for Vermont, but where I would have felt like both people were just being totally candid about what they thought and not trying to read polls and figure out what they needed to say to get elected. What I believe with Governor Shumlin is you have a guy who's great at reading polls and figuring out what he needs to do to get elected. I remember talking to Brian Doobie, I think the night of the 2010 election, but it might have been the next morning, and stealing, basically a line from Bush 1 after he lost to Clinton. And I believe Bush said something along the lines of, if he does half a good a job of running the country as he did of running his election campaign, we'll be okay. That'll be good to see. That's what I thought after, our side lost. That's the way it works. I supported Brian Doobie vigorously, but I was looking forward to, because Shulman ran a great campaign in 2010. What I would argue is he hasn't lived up to that at all. Clinton, I think, whether you agreed with or disagree with him, he did a reasonable job of running the country. My read on the Shulman administration is that they run the state like it is a campaign. They're always reading polls, figuring out what's going to be popular and pretending they're leading that parade. And I think that's the opposite of what we need for leadership, especially in troubling times. And the economy in Vermont is troubled. These reports that came out yesterday from Tom Cavett talking about, zero job growth pretty much in most of the state except for Orleans, which is, all funded with foreign investment. And it's, private enterprise. Bill Stanger taking advantage of some programs that Leahy set up 20 years ago. He's done a great job with that in Chittenden County. Rest of Vermont's sort of got a different kind of economy. And that's the Vermont that I think needs a governor like Scott Milne.
So how are A&R and HHS mismanaged?
Agency of Natural Resources has, low-level people making, policy decisions. I think there's good documentation of that, standing up and talking about things. I think the Natural Resources Board is, gone way out of the mainstream in some of the policies it's promoting. Agency of Commerce, and it's, through the Regional Planning Commissions and things, and its interaction with the Agency of Natural Resources, again, I think there's been a leadership vacuum there. Those are people that were brought in by Shumlin and the Shumlin administration when they come on board. I was not happy with what I've seen evolve from some of those decisions, although I wasn't paying attention to them at the time. And I think HHS, as we get into September and October, we'll talk a little bit about how dramatically their budgets have increased. And I would argue how what a lack of real bona fide accomplishment there's been for the increased money we're spending there.
Let's go to the phone here, 244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255. Let's go to Berlin. Rose, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Hey, I really wish you a good campaign, and I hope like the heck you win. But I do have a couple of questions. One being, what do you think of the health care situation? And what do you think of Vermont taking some of these illegal children coming in without parents? I know how I feel about it, but I'd be interested to hear how you feel about it, and we'll stand by to listen.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you, Rose. Health care, I've been pretty consistent on that, I think, since the beginning, which is I am learning a lot about it. Clearly, it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback, and Mark and I just went over some of those waters and talked about what I think the mistakes were that were made going down the road we went down versus a much less risky, more conservative path, which still would have been compliant with federal law, which is the Affordable Care Act. Now that we're here, I think we need to really understand how big a mess this is. I think the conventional wisdom is that we've got this exchange as a foundation, and it makes sense to try to take a couple steps back from, you know, the bold and risky path that the Shumlin administration has outlined and do something that moves us forward, giving universal access to people, coming up with a way of not chasing the good healthcare providers out of state because of fear of reimbursements, and do that on a foundation of the exchange. I think we'll see a lot over the next 60 days about whether that's possible. I hope that is possible, but clearly, the money that's been spent so far is has not been wisely spent or well spent. The situation of folks coming into Vermont from Central America is a really tough one. I think it sort of gets back to states versus the federal government. It's a sign of naivete or poor planning on the part of the federal government that we're in this situation, and I think it's consistent with what we've seen happen in the Middle East. And Mark and I were talking as we were coming into the show today just about, if you look around the world, holy schmoly, it looks like a dangerous place right now. A lot of that lies at the feet of our president, in my opinion. The problem with the people rushing through to the border, because there's all these stories going around in Central America that once you're a child, all you have to do is get to the feet of a border crossing guard or somebody, and you're basically guaranteed. And if I was in Guatemala and I was impoverished and yearned for the American dream, I would consider sending my kids to the border so they could try to live here. It's a really complicated issue. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not going to come out and say it's a terrible idea right now. I think it's...
But should we be taking kids here in Vermont?
I don't know yet. I mean, I'm not going to jump up and down and say no. I think it's interesting that Obama's looking for the bluest states in the country to try to do it. I think it speaks to the politics involved in the whole thing.
Isn't that a decision? Isn't that a question that you really shouldn't have to think a lot about, either have a yes or a no on?
No. No, I think it's a very complicated decision that deserves a lot of thought.
Isn't that just kind of doing what you're saying Shumlin's doing and reading polls? I mean, what's your...
No, I'm not reading polls. No. I mean, if I was reading polls for the Republican primary, I'd be against it right now.
Let's go to Waterbury. Steve, good morning.
Oh, good morning. This is Steve Berry, and good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good. I'll be seeing you this afternoon at the Lamoille County Field Days.
Spectacular. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, listen, I have a three-point question that I'd like to ask you. I just driving into Barrie this morning, and I heard that you were on. I got a three-point question that I'd like to ask. Now, if by chance that you become our next governor, what is your game plan, and how can you make a difference with a supermajority in the House and the Senate with the Democrat ruling class that are proposing almost 1,000 new bills each year and are spending twice as much in revenue coming in? And can you convince me as a taxpayer in Vermonter that you have the wisdom and courage to stop the bleeding of our tax dollars?
All right. Thanks for your call. Let me have you hold on a sec before you give an answer to that. We'll take a short commercial break. We'll come back, continue our discussion with Republican gubernatorial candidate Scott Milne. You can join us at 244-1777 and toll-free 877-291-8255. We'll be back right after this.
If you haven't been to B&B Nurseries on the Stagecoach Road in Morrisville, you should make it a point to stop and shop. We have a great selection of perennials, trees, and shrubs, and stone for many different applications. While here, you may find some unadvertised specials. So stop, shop, and save at B&B Nurseries. We are open Monday through Friday from 7 until 5, Saturday from 8 until 2. B&B Nurseries, we're growing for you. Condition of your teeth impacts your entire health. All Smiles Family Dental Center features an artisan quality denture lab on the Barry Montpelier Road. Now you don't have to travel for affordable dentures. Purchase our comfortable and natural appearing dentures within 90 days and we'll pay for your oral exam and digital x-rays. Please don't hesitate to learn more or to arrange a free initial consultation. Call 476-8700. That's 476-8700 or visit myvtsmiles.com. All Smiles on the Barry Montpelier Road. Are you all smiles?
All smiles, all smiles.
We have about 10 ducks, 2 horses, and probably around 15 chickens. Me and my sister take care of all the animals. I want to have a farm when I'm older. I definitely continue having animals.
Backyard farms are good for your family, belly, and soul. See the new film at GodIsFarmAndYard.com.
And your local Guy's Farm and Yard hope you'll celebrate farming, backyard, and otherwise during Lamoille County Field Days, July 25th through the 27th, Route 100C, Johnson.
RB Technologies on Route 14 in East Montpelier has been creating and supporting thoughtfully designed, custom-crafted computer networks for their clients since 1997. Here's Rob Weiss from the Central Vermont Council on Aging.
I went to RB Technologies because I was looking for a migration from our older technology server to a newer technology, but I went to a number of different companies. I settled on RB Technologies because they are local. I didn't feel talked down to, which was really important. With RB Technologies, you get a feeling that they're really there to help you. They're not there to like try to sell you something that you don't need. They're there to listen to you and they'll make recommendations and they won't do anything without asking about if that's what you want to do. And I found that to be invaluable.
RB Technologies cares about their customers. Online at rbtechvt.com. RB Technologies. Efficiency through technology.
Managing multiple medications can be difficult, especially when you're juggling multiple refill dates. Introducing EasySync from Kinney Drugs. With EasySync, all your prescription refills will be synchronized so that they're ready on the same day each month. It's easy, it's automatic, and best of all, it's free. Ask your Kinney pharmacist about EasySync and find out how you can manage multiple prescriptions in one simple refill. EasySync from Kinney Drugs. Experience the difference.
Hi, folks. Todd Mobley here from the new Formula Ford in Montpelier, here to bring you the biggest savings and selection of the summer during our 2014 leftover sale. The 2015 models are just arriving, and that means your selection of 2014 leftovers is at its best. When you add up deep Formula Ford savings with additional customer rebates on any in-stock 2014 leftover vehicle, you can enjoy savings like 0% financing plus additional Ford rebates on all of our top-selling cars and SUVs. Up to $7,000 in total savings savings on most in-stock Ford F-150 STX trucks. Low lease payments with no money down on Focus, Fusion, and Escapes. Now is the time to get the biggest rebates and deep Formula 4 discounts while the selection is at its best. Don't wait. Claim your savings today at the new Formula Ford on the roundabout at the junction of Route 2 and 302 in Montpelier or online 24 hours a day at FormulaFordVT.com. Formula Ford and you, a formula for success.
Formula Ford Truckland, we'll drive you best deal home.
Back continuing our discussion, we've been talking this morning with Scott Milne. He's running for governor. The caller asked how you're going to possibly get any work done with the supermajority in the legislature.
Sure. You and I talked about it, I think, back in May, Mark, before I formally decided to throw my hat in the ring. You asked almost the same question. I talked about Lyndon Johnson was the guy who really got civil rights done. You know, a Southerner who didn't seem to fit the mold. And I think the times demand some serious recalibration of what we're doing in Montpelier. I think the legislators that I know and that I've known over the years all take their jobs very seriously. And I think they're going to welcome the opportunity to work collaboratively with somebody that's going to want to solve some big problems. And I'm more than, if I come in, obviously, I'm going to have some political capital. And I'm more than happy to spend it all fixing big problems and risking not getting reelected should I decide to run for a second term. That's a big difference between myself and the Shumlin administration that came in with supermajorities in both houses. I think a popularity rating in the 60s. It's 4 years later, and I would argue they haven't really done anything that's tangible to working Vermonters, and they've got a popularity rating that's much lower. So I think it'll be easier for me to do things in the next session than it will be for the Shumlin administration, because he's going to have less of an approval rating going in than I would if I won.
You said a couple of minutes ago that given the problems that are going on with the Vermont Health Exchange, that it was time to take a few steps back. Would you, if you're elected, halt any sort of further discussion, study of a universal publicly financed system like what the governor's pursuing?
The single payer clearly is something that we'll be continuing to look at and talk to the folks that I'm talking closely with now. And we'll have some more specific ideas on that before the election. People will know what we're talking about there before the election. I think it's a huge indictment on the leadership of the Shumlin administration, again, that we're 6 years into it, and they can't, obviously, based on news we've seen yesterday and over the last 2 years, they can't manage it. But they can't even tell us how much it's going to cost or which of the primary taxes. It can be a sales tax, an income tax, or what kind of tax are they going to raise to pay for it. So they can't do that, but I think we'll play the adult in the room and come up with some specific strategies. And my sense, as I'm 30 days further into this than I was in the end of June, it seems to me that single payer is some of the good things, healthcare for everybody, making sure we're not chasing the best providers out of the state. I think single payer gets in the way of accomplishing that, but we still got some thinking to do and some plans to lay out, but that'll be part of our September strategy. Our August strategy is trying to convince Vermonters to hold the Shumlin administration accountable for its severe lack of leadership and lack of management expertise with the resources of the people of Vermont.
Okay, so you can't say right now whether you would continue or not continue pursuing what the governor's pursuing on health care reform.
I can say that I'll have a better, more detailed plan after 3 months of being into this game than Governor Shulman has after 6 years into it by the time we get to September.
Okay. What about, so the idea of having health insurance separate from employment, do you support that idea?
I think that we had the second highest insured rate in the country coming into this. I think, you know, what do we got, over $100 million tied up in this, and it's dysfunctional and not working to figure out how to insure 20,000 people. Again, it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback, and I'll take a couple, you know, shots at the Shumlin administration for the choices they made. I think leadership is about looking forward and figuring out how we're going to fix things and move forward. So, as with the other big opportunity to make life better for Vermonters over the next generation is figuring out how we're going to restructure property taxes and improve, keep what's good about our school system, which K-12 is mostly good, but can be better. That's something that really needs to be worked on. And as I've said when we've talked about that discussion in the past, and if we talk about it today, Mark, everything's going to be on the table. So I don't want to be sort of piecemeal answering very legitimate questions from somebody about you, from somebody like you, about what's on or off the table with healthcare, because everything's got to be on the table. It's a very complicated but vitally important to the Vermont economy and to Vermonters.
Okay, but you just really, I mean, you've called the governor reckless on health care reform. You've said that it was too bold a move here. So, I mean, how could you possibly go forward with what he's talking about, given what you said?
That's a pretty, now I see why you got your own show, Mark. You know, it's part of our strategy to get elected is to spend August talking about the Shumlin administration and their lack of management expertise, which is part of leadership, and the reckless ideas that have given them a greater opportunity to mismanage the affairs of the state. I think that folks in your seats, i.e. the press, have let the Shumlin administration get away with out answering questions for 6 years. I'm new to this game. I should get 30 days.
What questions haven't the press asked the Shumlin administration about health care?
I didn't say you didn't ask him. I said you let him get away without answering them, and he hasn't answered how he's going to pay for it.
And is that the fault of the press for not getting that answer out of him?
No. I mean, but I'm saying, no, it's not the... It's a great question. I think it is not the fault of the press, but that letting somebody get away with changing the subject when there's, you know, an elephant in the room that they're ignoring, we should be reminding people about the elephant and not talking about the distractions.
Mm-hmm. If given, I'll give you that you're correct in your presumption in the question here, but even if the governor's unwilling to talk about it, why are you unwilling to talk about it? Just because he is, why won't you talk about it and give us some fundamental ideas about how you think about this?
Because the election is 100 and something days away, and our strategy is to talk about it as we get closer to the election. What I'm saying right now is I'm a critic of the Shumlin administration. I will run a much more transparent government than the Shumlin administration has done. I think I'll do a much better job of picking people to manage the affairs of state than the Shumlin administration has done. And I will not take reckless actions such as the road that we've gone down with single payer. I think even not reckless, but the GMO labeling bill, which is basically about transparency, to me, I find it hypocritical that the Shumlin administration wants to hold Monsanto to a higher transparency threshold than it's willing to hold itself to. The basic content of that bill is fine with me, but the tone of it and putting it in and then standing in front of a sign saying we're starting a food fight with the food industry, that all contributes to a tone of we're not a good state to do business in. That's why when you saw Tom Cabet talking yesterday at this, I mean, it speaks volumes to the situation the Shumlin administration is in, and that Vermont, by being hitched to the Shumlin administration, is in, that we had this massive downgrade of the budget forecast yesterday. I'm on a show of your caliber today, and if I don't bring it up, it's probably going to not even make the news because there's so much worse news going on for the Shumlin administration. Yesterday, the budget, I think they, we're projecting a 3% growth rate now, down from 4.8%. So you could say, that, to me, that's a big deal. Part of that is when you look at what Tom Cabet's numbers are, a lot of Vermont is not even gotten back to where it was at the trough of the 2008 recession, say nothing of the peak before the recession. Got places like Windsor County and Orange County that are down jobs, as Governor Douglas said when he introduced me at the Aldrich Library on Wednesday when I kicked off my campaign. There's 8,500 less jobs in Vermont now than when he left office. And, you know, I think the Shumlin administration thinks Vermonters are just going to buy into this scenario of we got the greatest green job per capita ratio in the country, the unemployment rate's really low, and we got a low bond rating. As Governor Douglas said, You look at an unemployment rate, if you had fewer people in the numerator and the denominator, it's not that big a deal. So we're going to challenge the Shumlin administration and talk about the things that are really important.
You said just a moment ago that the single payer bill was a reckless action. Tell me what you mean by that.
New Hampshire complied with the Affordable Care Act for less than $10 million, and theirs works. They've got twice as many people as we do, and we've got over $100 million committed to this, and it's still not working. And I think as we get over the next 60 days, we'll see even more insightfully how badly it's been managed and how badly it's working and how maybe unfixable it is.
Okay, that's the exchange. You said the single payer bill.
Single payer bill is a part of the whole healthcare restructuring from the Shumlin administration.
So do you feel that whole overhaul is reckless?
I think that the Affordable Care Act, which is a federal law that we needed to comply with, could have been done in a way which was much less reckless with taxpayer money and Vermont resources.
Is the single payer bill the legislature passed reckless?
The single payer bill is a concept that I think needs to be flushed out and designed, but the foundation under it, getting the Vermont health exchanges to work, is vitally important.
All right. Not sure I understand what you mean by that.
The whole, if you go back to 2010, the three things that the Shumlin campaign was based on, I believe, were shutting down Vermont Yankee, pre-K, universal pre-K across everywhere, and a fundamental restructuring of the healthcare system. I think that was a smart strategy for getting elected governor. I think that if you look at the pre-K bill, that again is similar to the GMO labeling. In general, that's good, but that we added on, $36 million a year, more or less, depending on how many kids show up. We added that in just as another add-on entitlement or expense or, you know, legacy program that we're going to have to pay for without, again, as we talked about earlier, rolling up his shirt sleeves, going across, working with the legislature to figure out how we're going to throw that into the soup mix of kind of restructuring the whole education system was a mistake on the part of the Shumlin administration. Vermont Yankee, the way that was shut down to me, was not well thought out. Whether you think it should have been shut down or shouldn't have been is irrelevant to that. The tone and the style with which the Shumlin administration went forward with that, again, similar to the food fight analogy, we're going to end up with a nuclear toxic slum on the banks of the Connecticut River for probably 65 years or whatever the maximum decommissioning time is. Again, I'm not an expert on it, but the people that I trust that I'm talking to that do know a lot about it feel pretty strongly that if we had a governor who was much more in tone, business friendly, and working cooperatively to fix problems, even with people that you disagree with, we could have given them a license extension, in exchange gotten them to pony up the money for the rapid decommissioning. So where you have Governor Dean, who did, in my opinion, a lot of good things and left and said, you know, he thought his greatest legacy was the Champion Lands. You know, what are we going to see as Governor Shumlin's greatest legacy 30 years from now when we've got a nuclear toxic waste dump on the banks of the Connecticut River that could have been gone?
So you would have given VY more time?
I would have worked cooperatively with them and tried to negotiate a deal where we would have probably given them a license extension in exchange for them funding and agreeing to a rapid shutdown. As we know, the market forces... As we know, the market forces sort of changed things there with the price of natural gas making nuclear power not as viable as it had been previously.
Mm-hmm. Just want to make sure I understand you correctly, because you used the term reckless action and then talked about single payer. So was the single payer bill that the legislature passed reckless?
I guess I got to look into that a little bit. Give me 24 hours and I'll get back to you.
You described that you would have preferred to have seen a race between Doug Racine and Brian Doobie in 2010 because it would have been a race between men of great integrity. Is Peter Shumlin a man of great integrity?
Doug Racine, I think, is, in my limited dealings with Doug Racine, He's totally comfortable looking you in the eye and telling you he disagrees with you and trying to convince you to agree with him or disagree with you. My experience with the Shumlin administration is that's not exactly the an integrity. I wouldn't say anything about Governor Shumlin's integrity. I would just say I think that they run the state like it's a political campaign. And I would like to see the state run like it's a family where we need to make sure we're looking out for our best interests in the long term. You know, I like the family. You know, you can sit around the dinner table and criticize anybody at the dinner table. But when you walk outside, you stick up for each other. That starts with being honest with people around the dinner table. And what I see more and more and am worried about with the direction of Vermont under the Shumlin administration's leadership is that we're sort of marching out in these directions that got some great national traction with a small group of people, and Vermont's a relatively small place to get some action on them, but are they really what's going to enable Vermonters to retire comfortably that haven't made a lot of money in their life? Are they really what's going to enable grandparents to see their grandkids having families in Vermont? I don't see GMO labeling. I don't see single payer being on the front bleeding edge of, you know, one of the things I said in my principles and priorities, which we put a lot of work and thought into, and there's a lot of discussion with the people I'm talking to about whether we'd keep it in, is do we really need to be the most liberal state in the country every day? And I don't think so. And that doesn't have to do with integrity, but I think Doug Racine maybe does think we need to be that. But he would tell you that, and we'd have that discussion with the Shumlin administration. I think you got to sort of look at afterwards and go, well, what is really going on here? We are becoming a state that thinks we need to be the most liberal state in the country every day. Part of my goal over the next 90 days is to make sure we have a discussion like that. If I lose at the ballot box on November 4th, part of the reason will be because if I do a good job of getting our message out, because people believe, more than 50% of the people believe that we do want to be the most liberal state in the country every day. And if that's what people want, then that's the way democracy works.
You said before that the best way to spend money and decisions should be made locally. So on property taxes, is there a way to make it more locally based?
It's a As you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday who was talking about the issues in an election in 1980, and they said it's almost the same issues today as it was in 1980. This property tax, school funding, is it one that comes around and comes around. As we know, this latest Act 60 decision was based on a Supreme Court decision, which I agree with, which essentially said kids in all places of Vermont need to have an equal education. They tied a lot of that to the amount of money being spent on kids as to what the value of their education is, which I think is probably reasonable. The challenges with Act 60 as we go forward are 70%, I think, is the number of people that are basically insulated from any effect on school budgets because of their income sensitivity. And I think that where you have a governor, again, and it's easy to criticize the Shumlin administration, I think, for very legitimate reasons. Excuse me. They, you know, basically, I think what they said this year at town meeting was go out and vote down your school budgets if you don't like the way things are going. And yet the Shumlin administration realizes that the school boards are kind of handcuffed. The spending decisions made at most school board levels have not nearly the impact on the local property tax rate that it did 30 years ago. I don't think we can go back totally to local control and local funding of all schools, or it'll be in violation of the Brigham decision. But we also got to get away from this system of everybody kind of doesn't figure out what their school property taxes are going to be until 2 months after town meeting. So it's a complicated thing. What I've said is, I'll be engaged with it clearly, as unless there's some very, very shocking thing. It's going to be Democratic majorities in the House and the Senate. We'll put everything on the table, come up with something that's going to move the ball forward and improve things and offer more predictability.
Mm-hmm. You say insulated, 70% are insulated from any effect. That's not really true, is it?
Again, I'm a travel agent 90 days ago, Mark, who reads the paper and pays attention to things. But my understanding is most towns, 70% of property taxpayers, residential property taxpayers, do not are protected on income sensitivity on their house and their primary, is that 2 acres or 5 acres that goes with the house? I think, isn't that the number?
That's the number, but there's not a total insulation. There was in the earlier incarnations, earlier phases of Act 60, but part of the changes that have been made have been trying to change that.
Okay.
Let's go to Callis. Jerry, good morning.
Hello. Can't hear you very well.
Okay. Well, we can hear you.
Pardon?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, good morning, you two. And, Scott, I hope you succeed and get a chance to do something, maybe make some change. My question is, you know, for the last 2 years, we've been trying to get the legislators to, you know, reform Act 60 and 68. I wanted to hear, if you became governor, what you would do about that, because the taxes are horrendous, and every year they go up and up and up. And the other thing, single-payer health care. I understand now, by listening to the radio programs and reading things in the papers, that they're going to, I think, when they convene at legislature next January, they're going to start working on getting Medicare patients to get them in under the single-payer health care exchange, Shumlin's single-payer health care exchange, for their supplemental insurance coverage. I don't like that because it's going to cost more for all of us if that happens.
All right, let me get Scott to comment on that. Thanks for your call.
Thanks for the good wishes, Jerry. And remind me again, Mark, I was trying to catch that last part of the question, but the first part of the question was what would I do about Act 60 and 68, the school restructuring?
Yep.
What I've said, Jerry, is it's complicated. It's I don't know that we're going to have a specific plan. We're not going to have a specific plan for how to restructure that before the election. What I promised is there'll be a plan from a Milner administration in the House and Senate in the first half of the biennium. My sense is it would not get through the legislature in the first half of the biennium, but while legislators and the governors out over the summer talking to Vermonters, they would know very specifically what that plan is and be up to speed on it and able to comment on it so that hopefully we can get it done in the second half. We do have a Brigham decision, which makes it tough to do things. And I think also the tradition of Vermont is to build upon and improve what we have rather than throw things out and start totally over. So that sort of would be a fundamental.
How are people going to judge you before the election, though? That's one of probably two key issues. People are going to want to know what you're going to do with that. How can people judge you if you don't have a plan before Election Day?
Well, we'll have a plan for fixing the economy, which, as you know, the biggest one of the biggest problems we have with the whole tax structure system as far as education funding goes is we have a school population that's gone down by 15% in the last 20 years, and per capita spending that's up significantly. So rising tide lifts all boats. If we fix the economy and have young families staying in Vermont or coming to Vermont, that'll be a big part of it. So our primary criticism of the Shumlin administration is its management of the Vermont economy. Our primary fix that we're going to offer to Vermont is a much better tone and friendly tone towards business, and then some specific plans about how to attract business and keep business in Vermont. So that we'll be talking about before the election very clearly.
Give me an example or two of how the Shumlin administration's been unfriendly to business.
I think getting elected by, having one of your three key tenants be getting 600 people in Vernon and the Brattleboro area fired is not business friendly. I think, as we said before, whether you're for or against Vermont Yankee, and let's remember Obama came into office with a pro-nuclear power platform as part of his coming into office. So it's not a Republican or Democrat thing. I think that was a unfriendly business tone. I think calling the gentleman that was one of the top executives from IBM Vermont a liar in the Vermont Senate clearly is not a very business-friendly tone. I think in the last 40 days, you know, celebrating this GMO bill and the lawsuit that's going to attract us and getting on, you know, 20 minutes on a national public radio broadcast talking about it after you stand in front of a sign with one of the ice cream guys saying we're starting a food fight is not business friendly. And I think there's probably 20 other examples.
Single payer you'd put in there too?
No, single payer I think is, I would not put that there. I think single payer has the potential to be very bad for business. But again, it's very complicated, and there's not a whole lot of people in Vermont that really understand it completely. Fortunately, I have a couple of them talking to me about it, so I want to. But I think it's just more of a philosophical recklessness on single payer. Why? One of the you know, the modest success I've had in business and life, we have this philosophy, which essentially is pioneers get slaughtered long before settlers are actually planting corn. I see very little need for Vermont to be first in the country on many, many things. I think two exceptions to that are Act 250, which was very good pioneering legislation. Although it was, you know, the catalyst was a court decision, I think civil unions was a very good thing for Vermont to get out in front with. In civil unions, as you know, Mark, a lot of people forget they thought it was really pioneering. It actually was a reasonable compromise.
Tell me a life experience you've had that would convince people you should be governor.
Well, let's see, a life experience I've had that would convince people that I should be governor. Hopefully the opportunity to meet me over the next 60, 90 days, have a conversation, realize I'm really not trying to sell you anything. I mean, it talks into our fundraising thing. I'm a little uncomfortable calling people for money, but, I think my whole life experience is one of, growing up in Vermont, been interested in what's going on. I've, met every governor of my lifetime in Vermont, which is a you know one of the great blessings of being in Vermont. It's sort of like being in New Hampshire every 4 years for primary. You can meet presidents if you want to. Got a good history of Vermont. I've got a political science degree, paid attention to issues. But I guess my whole life is, you know, there's reasons why maybe you don't want to vote for me, and hopefully you realize I'm in this, not for my personal ego. I don't know that this is a great experience for my business, but I just felt like somebody needed to step up and point out the real danger to our future that's, to me, very, very apparent if we continue down the road we're on, and it, and the Shumlin administration seems to be doubling down on everything they've done over the last 4 years now, and if they start doing an about-face in the next 60 days, my guess is going to be because they read a poll and realized that's what they had to do.
Website up yet?
Yes. Milne, F-O-R, milneforvermont.org. Welcome anybody to stop in, say hello through us through our website. We've got a campaign office in South Burlington. So call in, walk in, click in, stop by and shake hands when I'm out on the road. I'd love to talk to anybody.
Thanks for coming by. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Mark.
Scott Milne is a Republican candidate for governor. We're going to take a quick break here for news. We'll be back for hour number two in just a few moments. We're going to talk with Peter Boynton of the Skinner Barn coming up next hour. We'll also take your phone calls as well. Keep your dial right here. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugar Bush. FM 96.5 in Barrie and Montpelier. If you're in the Northeast Kingdom, try us at 101.5 and the flagship. AM 550 WDEV Waterbury. Montpelier News is next.
AP Radio News.